Yes, give them a clap. No, I'm very, very grateful. For those of you that don't know, this is a first, because I haven't ever sat down to speak here, but the time has come when I need to. And I thought yesterday, I thought, actually, it's an interesting variety we have up here, isn't it, one way and another? Lots of ways it's interesting. But when you think about it, 4 weeks ago, Kim spoke, and she likes to move the lectern right away and wander as she talks. And it's all wonderful. I'm not criticising anything. And the next week, we have Paul, who has the lectern here but wanders too. And then we have Martin, who stays fairly glued to the lectern. Not absolutely, but fairly there. And then you have me, who sits down. You know, I grew up in a church where the minister did everything. Every morning he led the service and preached, and every evening he led the service and preached for 52, well, not 52, because he had a month's holiday, but 48 months of the weeks of the year. And I think we're really blessed to have the variety we have. And actually, however much you enjoy any particular person, if you had them every week, it would get a bit boring, really. And, you know, we are blessed to have variety, aren't we? So you've got me today. And I was desperate that I could see you, really, and I can, actually. It's amazing, because I like eye contact with people. And the word I'm going to bring today, no, I won't say that, because Michael always says I mustn't apologise for things, so I won't say what I was going to say. I want you to journey with me this morning, and I'm trying not to be too long-winded, which is difficult, as you know, those of you that know me, but I can only unpack this if I take you with me on a little journey. And I want you to go back to Sunday, June the 4th, where I was in my bathroom. You don't visualise that too much. But I was in the bathroom on Sunday morning, June the 4th, quite early. And the phone went, and I picked it up, and it was Deb, our youngest daughter. And she said, "Mum, have you seen the news?" And I said, "No, I haven't." And she said, "Well, I didn't ring you last night because I didn't want you to go to bed with it on your mind. But before you go to church, you need to know there's been the most terrible massacre, really, on London Bridge. And on June the 3rd, we had the ISIS terrorists on London Bridge." And as I put the phone down, it's always difficult to describe feelings in words, isn't it? But as I put the phone down, I had an overwhelming sense of fear and of the bigness of it all. And I felt myself, because that came after other tragedies, and suddenly it was too big, and we're tucked away in a tiny little village, right away from the centre big cities, but it felt too big. And I was overwhelmed with the sense that I couldn't actually do anything about it. And it felt as if it was going to swamp us all. And in that moment of fear, I almost heard a voice say, "You are only responsible for your patch. You are only responsible for your patch." And I felt God brought my big, fearful vision down to handleable size, because I am only responsible for my patch. I'm not an evangelist. I believe the Holy Spirit is given that we can be witnesses. And, witnessing is a part of being a Christian. And certainly a Spirit-filled Christian. But I grew up to be stirred to share Jesus, really stirred. I won't go into all the detail, I haven't got time, but I belonged to a youth group who had a theme song that said, "I'd rather die for Jesus than live in never any place on earth." And I could sing it when I was 15, and when I was married with three daughters, I didn't find it quite so easy to sing it. But in those days, we had a song, a chorus, and some of this I may have shared here before. Well, I'm not apologising for that, because I'm going to share it again. And it just said, "Lord, lead me to one soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. If Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. So melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. And I used to sing that every morning as an older teenager. And I meant it, and it was an incredible effort to make conversations work so that you could testify. And after we were baptized in the Spirit, after 27 years as born-again Christians, after we were baptized in the Spirit, the strain of it went and the flow came in, and I'm most grateful. Just a few weeks after that, we had the massive fire in the tower block. And again, God spoke. And many of you will have wept with the television views of the people. And I felt him just saying, so many of, no, it's an exaggeration, I didn't really feel him saying that, but I felt how many of those people knew Christians, most of them. Most of those people had some contact with Christians. I wonder how those Christians felt when just like that, that life has been taken. I wonder if they'd ever shared Jesus with them. And they were them if they knew that at the point where they knew they were going to die, the Lord could stir their hearts toward him. He could anyway, of course he could. But had they fulfilled their responsibility to make sure there was something there that would be quickened by the Holy Spirit and would cause them to cry out to him for salvation? It goes on. I was privileged to be praying with somebody, and when I prayed in my prayer language, the Lord showed me a shire horse ploughing. And I shared it as a picture. And the person I was with wept. And she said, that is the very first picture we had about 40 years ago. And I had no idea. I really had no idea. And I was thrilled because that's really encouraging when that sort of thing happens. And she went away. But the picture grew. And instead of one shire horse going up and down this big field, ploughing its, I don't know farming terms, but ploughing its furrow, I think. Is that right, somebody? Yeah, ploughing its furrow. Instead of one horse going back up and down, there were two. And then there were three. And then there were four. And then there were six. And there might have been eight shire horses ploughing a furrow each across a massive field. And as I looked to that field, totally ploughed by one horse in each furrow ploughing, the whole field was ploughed just like that. As I looked at it, I did hear God say, my heart is for the lost. My heart is for the lost. And I cried. It was as clear as that. Do you know what I said? I said, Lord, I thought your heart was for your bride. I'm always hearing that. I'm always saying it. Your heart is for your bride. You long to welcome your bride home. And then I saw it. His heart is for his bride to welcome her home. But he wants a huge bride. A huge bride. And at this point, because of this world and this patch, he is waiting, longing, weeping for the lost to be added to his bride. Because without those lost, his bride will go home, leaving people who are going to spend eternity in hell. I don't want you, those who know me know, I don't want to be irreverent in any way, but I really felt the urgency, the passion, the single-mindedness of his cry. I really felt that was the heart of God. And it wasn't just I'm just waiting for the lost. It was a passionate cry. It was a weeping cry. And something of that passion grabbed me. And I began to think, say, Lord, break my heart with what breaks yours. We sing it time and time again. You sing it, each one of you. I sing it. Lord, break my heart with what breaks yours. And if the lost is breaking his heart, I want him to break my heart for the lost. And I'm not asking you to nod or anything. I'm asking you if you do. If you want him to break your heart for the lost. This field is our part. This area is our patch. I don't know who's come the farthest. We've got visitors here. I know who've come a long way. But most of us live within a few miles of here. Some of us travel in from a fair distance near Cambridge. Others are right on the spot in the centre of the universe. You live here, which is wonderful. But this field needs ploughing. Because only when it's ploughed can it be sown. And only when it's sown is there a potential for harvest. And our part in that, and you've heard me say this before, our part isn't to save people, it's to soften hearts. But the ploughing is essential before the sowing. And God leaves us, you and me, with the responsibility of ploughing. We, like God's heart, have got to be urgent, passionate, single-minded. I love this church. Some of you know how much I love it. I love the laughter. I love the freedom. I love the summer program, George and Jess. Well done. If you're a visitor here today, you think, oh, what a wonderful, it is a wonderful church. It's alive and vibrant, and we love the Lord. But his heart is for the lost. His heart is for the lost. And only he, by the power of his Spirit, can break my heart for the lost. Because I haven't got a heart for the lost. It doesn't drive me to my knees. It doesn't cause me to weep that people are going to hell. But God will break our hearts if we ask him. And he'll plough our hearts. Could you just put that scripture up, please? I wasn't going to use it till later, but just read the scripture. It popped in out of the blue, really. Plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will reap a crop of my love. Plough the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower salvation upon you. He did it. He did it in my life, 72 years ago, he brought me to salvation. He did it in your life, 18 years ago, some of you, and some only recently. But if you're like me, you need it stirred and stirred and stirred, because the wonder of our salvation fades. We prayed at Springboard this morning. Somebody talked, I think it was Paul, talked about drawing from the well of salvation with joy. There was joy when you were saved. There was an anticipation of all that he was going to use you for, all the people that were going to get saved because of you, because you were light and alive in the wonder of it all. And he says, plough the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower something of that wonder, something of that joy upon you afresh, upon me afresh. Because unless we are going to be abounding in the joy of the Lord, we are no witness to the folk outside. They're miserable. Not all of them. Some of them are very happy, happier than us. But we should be the ones that are abounding in joy. But we need to polish our glasses and see him afresh. We need to hear the whisper of his voice telling us we're not slaves, we're free. We need to be stirred, thoroughly stirred, with the wonder of the fact that Jesus is in us and we're in him. And everything that is ours through the inheritance he gives us. If you didn't listen to it, listen to Martin last week. That was a wonderful word of our inheritance, our identity in Christ. We have an identity in Jesus, and that should make us joyful. Those horses, 6-8 horses that were ploughing that field, were working together, side by side. They'd come from different places. They'd got different mothers. If horse, yeah, horses do have mothers, I think. Yeah. Horses have mothers. But they ploughed in unity. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers at you that there aren't 4 or 5 coming back to me, so don't get the idea I'm holier than thou. I'm not. But powerful ploughing needs unity. If we're going to plough, there's got to be a unity. And I'm a fine one to talk. I've got blinkers on like this that say, I know what's right, and I'm right. Ask my family, they know. But we have got blinkers. And over the years, they can be healthy blinkers. They've kept us from a lot of things that wouldn't have been right. But I believe God is saying, my heart is for the lost. And you need to be ploughing in unity. And what you are when you're together is part of what you'll be out there. And the power out there is partly dependent upon the unity in here. And all the time we let issues of any sort separate us, we're not ploughing in the way God's calling us to plough. And we suffer the consequence because the lost aren't being saved. These are generalisations. I know that. I know some people are being saved. So don't sort of argue in your mind with me. I know that. But you know what I'm saying too. And sometimes, you know, we can divide over issues that become very important to us. But actually, they don't matter that much to God. Because he's looking at your heart. And he's looking at my heart. And he knows you want to love and serve him and honour him. And he knows I want to love and serve and honour him. And on that ground, we can serve together. We can plough together. And although I may strongly object to something that Lorna says or does, it's unlikely, so I can say that safely. However she practices her Christian life in one way and me in another, if we both love Jesus and we both want his glory, we can actually plough together. As I say, I'm the one who probably wouldn't plough with Lorna if she was different to me. I'm not blaming her for that. I'm saying I wouldn't. But God is taking my blinkers wider. And I'm realising, horrors, that actually you don't have to agree with me to be right. That's terrible after all these years. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. It'll be all right there. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Feels a bit complicated to me. They went to Jesus one day, you know, and they said, John said, he said, Lord, we're really bothered. All these people are doing things in your name, performing miracles. We don't know what to do. And Jesus said, just leave them alone. If they're using my name, that's fine. Now, it's not just his name. They were using the power of his name. They were walking under his authority. Having somebody out there just using the name of Jesus, I was going to say in the pub, nothing against the pub particularly, but just loosely using the name of Jesus isn't using the name of Jesus. It's blasphemy. But using the name of Jesus to honour him, although you may do some things different to me, Jesus says, don't worry, come on board. I always struggle when I read a verse, I didn't look it up, but in Galatians 5, and it says, one of the fruits of unrighteousness, it's got all the lovely things like love, joy, peace and all that. And then all the fruits of unrighteousness, and one of the things is believing everyone else is wrong except those in your own little group. Guilty. And many of you would put your hands up. Because we do. We do. We love to be the people who know it all and have got it right. And actually, there's always far more truth to break forth from his word. There's always so much more he wants to show us. There are walks that people are walking in that we haven't walked in before. It doesn't mean God hasn't led them in that. And somewhere it has to come together so that that field is properly ploughed. Do you know, it's not much worse than sitting here seeing me up there. I didn't realise. New experiences. And then St. Paul says, he wrote the Galatians bit, of course, but St. Paul says, he says, I have learnt that it's worth being all things to all men so that I can save some. He says, when I'm with the Jews, as far as possible, I behave like a Jew. When I'm with the Gentiles, as far as possible, I behave like the Gentiles, without compromising my own walk in Christ. That's the bit. We can afford to stretch, but keep our own feet in the place God's appointed for us to stand in. But to just stay in the place God's appointed us to stay in and be scared, which I have been, to stretch, is not what God wants. If his heart is for the world, we've got to be prepared to move with him. I need to be ploughing my furrow. And you, whoever you are and wherever you are, you need to be ploughing your furrow. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. And he's coming for a complete ride. And you and I have been appointed to be part of the completing of that rite. And if we don't, we'll stand before him and we will know that we've missed out. And I believe the passion that I felt in the Lord's voice when he said, my heart is for the lost, for me was a timely reminder that I need to be singing again every time I wake up in the morning. Lead me some soul today. Help me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. So melt my heart, fill my life, give me a soul each day. There are churches around. Well, you know that, I'm not telling you that. They're not like us. Need to pause for a drink at that point. I wonder what our responsibility is. I went to a tiny little gathering a little while back now. I was so conscious, not when I spoke, before I spoke, I was so conscious of the presence of God there and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. People visibly wept, really wept, not just a tear in their eye, really wept. And I knew God was in that place. Yeah, it's had a troubled history, terrible history. But they preached Jesus. And people occasionally get saved. And there's lots of churches like this in the area. Is our job, and you're working with people that come from different churches, you're at school or college with people who come from different churches. I'm going to dare to say it, and you feel superior. Because I do. I belong to a wonderful church that's got everything. I wonder what it's like to get up on a Sunday morning and go to a church where you haven't got a musician. The preachers like me to be a bit boring. But you do feel, somehow, that that's where you are right now. God meets people at their heart level. He reads hearts. And I'm very thrilled that since this began to bubble, and I sort of said to the Lord, ages ago, I'll preach it if I'm asked. And I was asked for When You're All Away, and then God said no to that so clearly, and I'm so glad he did. Paul came back, and that was wonderful that morning. And then this last weekend, it's still bubbling away, and I say, Lord, if Tim asks me, I'm just going to say yes. Is that all right? And he confirms that's all right. And on Tuesday, Monday, Tim asks me, and I said yes without praying about it because I knew he wanted me to bring it. And do you know, since I said yes, I've heard of two churches in this area that would be really anti the things we preach here. And yet, both those churches have opened their doors to ministry that involves the power of the Holy Spirit hugely. God's done it his way. He hasn't made them come and join hands with us. He's gone to them, because he does go to us. I'm so glad he comes, and we don't always have to come to him. He comes for us. And he's gone to them, and he's pushed the door, and it's opened. And don't ask me where it is and who it is, because I'm not going to tell you, because I was told in confidence. But I'm so thrilled. And that was this week. Because God is on the move. And does he want to bless those churches? Probably. But his heart is for the lost. And until the empowering of the Holy Spirit is filling all of us to overflowing, and we are determined that Jesus and his love needs to be ministered, the lost aren't going to get saved. God waits for us to plough our furrow time and time again. You see, God's done his part, hasn't he? We sing about it, we talk about it all the time. God's done his part. He's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3 says that so clearly. God is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want the lost to be lost. He wants them to be saved. I've just read Genesis 1 yesterday and 2 today. And it struck me then, he didn't create people for hell. That was never his plan. He created people for heaven. He wanted relationship with human beings. And people have been snatched away by sin. And it's our job to build the bridge and to push the doors so that they step back into their purpose in God, which is to share eternity with him. We spend an awful lot, well, perhaps you don't, but I think some of the groups I'm in or people I mix with and me, we spend a lot of time and energy telling the Lord how dreadful this country is, how dreadful the government is, how dreadful the laws are. He knows it. Believe me, he knows, because he knows everything. And he's the one who said in John 3:17, if I say now, quote John 3:16, everybody would quote it. If I said, quote John 3:17, some of you would quote it. He said, God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So why do we spend our time condemning the world rather than trying to get them saved? This is heavy, isn't it? I'm sorry, but you'll have to put up with it for a minute more. This bit's lovely, and I'm going to skim over it because my time's going. But I listened to Mike Pivilacci on Channel 65, which is a TBN channel, and my family have threatened to swear box if I mention Channel 65 ever again. I glean little bits, only 10 minutes at a time. I switched it on, it was Mike Pivilacci talking about the glory of God. I was so blessed. I've lived with it for the last few weeks. Do you know what he said from Exodus 30 or 33? He said, the power of God is seen in his actions. The glory of God is seen in his character. And the glory of God is seen in goodness, kindness, mercy, compassion, etc. It was as if the scales fell from my eyes, folks. I saw it. I saw that when Jesus was going back to heaven, and in John 17, he asked that the glory that has been his is given to his disciples. He'd walked in goodness, kindness, mercy, and compassion for 33 years. And now he says, can all these have goodness, mercy, kindness, goodness, kindness, mercy, compassion, etc. With unity. With unity. And we've received from him his glory. You have the glory of God. I have the glory of God. I have got opportunity to walk as Jesus walked. He walked this earth displaying the glory of God. He left his disciples to display the glory of God. We today are to display the glory of God in goodness, kindness, mercy, and compassion. 2 Corinthians 3:18, you'll know it, talks about us being changed from one degree of glory to another, ever developing, ever more and more of the goodness, kindness, mercy, compassion of God. It's there. A bit like Martin said last week, it's there. It needs to be let out. It needs to flow. Because none of your family, none of your friends, none of your neighbours will draw away from goodness, kindness, mercy, and compassion. They'll welcome it, but we've got to be flowing in it. But we also need to be ready to speak of him, because there's power in the name of Jesus. It isn't enough just to be a good, kind, compassionate neighbour. We need to be asking for opportunities to share Jesus. Asking for opportunities with our family to share Jesus. And as those opportunities arise, and they will, take them. You'll be amazed if you ask sincerely for opportunities, God will give them to you. But you have to take them. And don't waffle about the fact that, you know, God made the sun. Marilyn Strand, ages ago now, 3 years perhaps, preached here on the importance of talking about Jesus and not just God. You see, all the religions talk about God. Jehovah's Witnesses talk wonderfully about God. We had an older church member who told me how close to us were the Muslims. Because of the way they live, they're very close to us. I said, but they don't believe in Jesus as the saviour of the world. She said, oh, but they believe in God. Well, for goodness sake, all the religions believe in God. So we've got to be talking about Jesus, or we can be mistaken for any of the other religions. Tom's dad had a stroke, was ill for about 10 years, and then he was dying in the hospital. And Tom, for good reason, I have to say, don't judge Tom on this, he was quite scared of his dad, for good reason. He'd never clearly shared the gospel with his father. And his father was terribly anti, wouldn't even come to church to hear him preach. And Tom wrote to him, and he shared the gospel in that letter, and we pray that he'd get it read to him and would receive it. And when we went down to visit, everybody was milling about, and one nurse came out and she said, are you the son who wrote the letter? Tom said, yes, I am. She said, your father got me to read it to him 3 times. And we led him to the Lord the day before he went into a coma and died. And he was 79. Tom's mum came to the Lord equally at 74. Totally, totally non-Christians. Tom spent his life in the children's room at the pub. No time for God at all. But they came when they heard the gospel. And all those years, the gospel hadn't been shared. And I'm saying to you, folks, if you love your family, you need to have done all you can do to make sure they've heard the gospel. Whatever means it takes, they need to hear the gospel. They need to know that there is a way to be sure of heaven, of eternal life, here and now, but then there as well. Our own hearts are so key. That's why I wanted that scripture. Because, I don't know about you, but hearts get hardened. They get hardened by busyness of life. They get hardened by the cares and heaviness of just everyday living. They get hardened because God doesn't answer our prayers, apparently. They get hardened because we don't do what he says when he tells us to do it. And there's a little bit of hardness of heart comes in. And some of us will need, I think, to ask the Lord to soften our hearts afresh. Because we'll never share him without soft hearts. It will be hard and brittle. But if you share from soft hearts, it's received differently. I think we're going to finish there, but I'm going to ask you to do something different. As I was getting this ready, a song came to mind. It is a song. But it's as old as the hills. Some of you would know it, but I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I'll tell you why I'm not telling you in a minute. But I thought I couldn't possibly get them to sing that. It's really old, and when I read the words, they weren't really suitable anyway. But I wanted us to sing a song about Jesus. Because if he fills our vision, Kevin brought a word in Springboard about the closer we got to Jesus, the more he didn't see all the cares and things. Lovely word. And I want to tell you, if you feel a long way away from him, you haven't got to go rushing in. Just tell him you want him. He'll come to you, because he wants you. Desperately wants relationship with you. Desperately wants you really close. God is a cuddler. God sent Jesus with compassion. He went to people. He found them. He rescued them. Wherever you're at, and perhaps you're not even a Christian, please, please know, Jesus wants to come to you, put his arms around you, and draw you close. But I want you to tell him, if your heart is hard, that it needs to be soft. And then, just all on our own, we're going to sing a song about him. And I'm not going to mention anything, because once I mention it, you'll all think of it. So I'm not going to mention any words, but it may be an old hymn that springs to mind and you think about Jesus. It may be a new song that the rest of us wouldn't know that springs to your mind and you marvel at Jesus. But the first thing that comes to your mind, I want you quietly to sing it to yourself. Don't sing it out loud, or you will be a jumble. Just sing it to yourself. Feed the words. Let the words brim up and feed back in. I'd love to be quoting some, because there's such lovely ones about the name of Jesus, about how lovely he is, how sweet he is, how majestic he is, how wonderful he is. They're all true. But the first song that comes to your mind, the first one, don't go rabbiting around, the first one, just sing it to yourself, and then we'll close. Thank you. Lord, you told me to do this, so please just stir that hymn song in every heart sung to you. Thank you. Jesus, you read our hearts. So many would echo my words when I say, I want to honour you. I want you to take me as I am and shape me to bring glory to your name. Lord, please lead us to the lost. Amen. Now I have to say, tea and coffee is served. But I do pray. That like the story of the sower, which I've got all around somewhere, the seed that fell on good ground brought forth fruit. And I pray the seed that was his seed this morning, if it's fallen on good ground in your heart, the word says, if you hear these things, really hear them, happy are you if you do them. And the joy comes from doing them. Amen.